All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Glad that you're here, and it is a blessing to be in God's house this morning. We've got an opportunity to open His Word, and that's what I'm excited about this morning, because it's not my wisdom that I'm standing here in, and yet God knows exactly what we need today. And I'm excited to open the book of James with you this morning. I know you're in Colossians, but Gary kind of gave me free rein and said he wasn't going to tell me what to speak on, and I could speak on whatever I wanted to. And I've been praying about it this week and thinking about it. I thought, all right, I can come up with a new Sunday school lesson, and yet the Lord kind of pulled out one and pointed me towards one that I've spoken on before. I don't believe here at this church, but many times, and yet God has used it so many times in my life. Because the fact is, all of us lack wisdom. The world we're in today is great on offering advice, right? I mean, if you've got a smartphone like I do, you can look up stuff all day long. You don't even have to remember. I mean, you don't have to remember phone numbers. You don't have to remember information. You don't have to remember anything. You can just go along life kind of, and just look up whatever you want to know. The world is great at offering us advice on everything, relationships, everything from how to put your car back on the road to, how to lose weight. I mean, everybody's looking for the next, new way to do things. And yet, all that massive stuff swirling around so many times has nothing to do with true wisdom. And what we need is direction in our life and what God wants us to do. And I want to look at James chapter 1, so familiar. And yet, we're looking at the context here. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. He's writing to the Jews in the early first century there. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Modern English, we would say that many trials, many different kinds of trials. And that's where usually we find out that we don't have the wisdom that we need, isn't it? When something comes up that's a problem. And all of a sudden, we feel our lack. And he says, knowing this, first of all, the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, mature, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. You'll be filled up. You'll be full. You'll have everything you need. If any of you lack wisdom. Well, do you fit in that category this morning? Do you recognize the that's everybody? I hope you do. If you think you've got it all together today, either you just haven't lived long enough, or you're in delusion, because none of us have it all together. We don't have the answers. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, we're going to look at these verses very briefly this morning, but I'm bringing out a few promises of God's Word. There's several promises, there's several commands here. We're going to look at today in the brief time that we have. My burden on this, what God has been working on me about in the last few weeks, is what does it mean to really live by faith? A lot of times, we know these verses. We know Matthew 6, that God says He's going to supply all of our needs. He's going to provide, a place to live and food to eat and clothes to wear, and you take no thought what you're going to do with these things, and seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that really look like? We know it. How does it actually come out? How do you actually live that way? And this is a very practical book, and it's a very practical passage, and I hope to be very practical with you this morning. If I'm not touching on specifically your situation, at least we're giving you the principles that you can use, because there's a toolbox here that you can unpack and get some tools out to use every day of your life. Let's just ask the Lord to bless. I know we've prayed once this morning, but I feel like we ought to ask God to bless this lesson. Lord, I need your help this morning to communicate your word accurately. But Lord, more than that, we all need you to open our minds that we would have the wisdom that's from above, that's not sensual or selfish or devilish, but that's peaceable and easy to be entreated and pure. God, help us to rely on your wisdom and on your strength and on you to do the work. And Lord, may we trust you, and may our lives reflect that. And I pray that you'll help us this morning. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, starts off with, you need to rejoice when you're going through trials. Wow, that's a whole message in itself. That's really hard to do. I'm not going to hit on that a whole lot because my passage I really want to bring out is the verses that deal with the wisdom. But you got to realize the context. These people are undergoing persecution. The hardest thing I would think to deal with, and what you know, you see the emails and stuff that go along, is when somebody is getting persecuted for their faith. It happens here in the country, in our country. You know, many people this year lost their job because of their testimony, especially maybe they had something that they published or put on a blog or something that was against homosexuality, or they stood up for traditional marriage, man and woman, etc. And there's been cases where it was on their own personal time, on their own personal computer, had nothing to do with anything related to work, and they've gotten fired over it. That's persecution. It happens. Now, that's pretty low-grade persecution to lose your job, but it's persecution. Okay? And we're not talking about Iran, you know, where you can be killed, you know, murdered, put to death by the government for being a Christian, for converting from Islam to Christianity. There's a lot of that going on all across the world. But we deal with, you know, that's tough, especially when you're right. When you've done something right and good and you're getting punished for it, you're getting persecuted for it, your family is suffering. For me, I'd be like, you know, you can do whatever you want to for me, but okay, I just lost my job or I'm just being put in jail and now my kids are going hungry. That'd be hard. And to go through something that major, and God says, count it joy. Count it peace. I'm going to give you what you need to go through this, to mature you. Whew. Puts it in perspective. How? God, I need wisdom. Help me. Okay. Well, that's the context. But there's a broader context too, in that all of us are dependent creatures. We're not independent. You know, they say no man's an island, and that's true. Although I've seen some people that were approaching that size. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about wisdom, dependence. You know, I'm dependent on the air I breathe. I'm dependent on the health of my body. I'm dependent on other things all around me to support me. Nobody is independent. We're all connected to things. The people who think that, you know, I don't need God, I don't need anything else. Okay, so you know, stop breathing for 6 minutes and see how you do. You can't. You know, you're dependent. You rely on other things. So what are we relying on? God says, if you lack wisdom, here's a command. In English, it says, let him ask of God. Now, that sounds kind of like a suggestion. You know, you ought to do this. You know, you could do this. But that's not what it is in Greek. In Greek, this is an imperative. And an imperative is a command. You ask God. That's the command. Let him ask of God. In Greek says, you ask God. Ask God. You do this. This is a command. So, what are we commanded to do? God commands us to do something. We're supposed to do it. Okay? If you lack wisdom, ask God. What? Well, it says, you know, for wisdom. That's the it's unspoken there, but the context. Ask God for what you need. Ask God for wisdom. And it talks about who are we asking? Okay, first command, ask God for wisdom. Let's think about that. Who are we asking? The almighty, omnipotent, all-sufficient being that has the answer, that knows the beginning from the end, that has all power, that has the ability to actually meet your need and give you the wisdom that you need when you need it. That's a pretty good person to ask. I mean, you could ask Laska, or you could ask, you know, the advice column in the newspaper, or you could Google it online. You may get any number of answers. But you ask God, and you're going to get the right one. And you're going to get the answer for the complex problems, the things that we don't know where to go on. But really, it can be anything. And look at the description here. It talks about God. He says, and you know what? It gives to all men liberally. Now, that has nothing to do with politics. What does the word liberal mean in King James? Plentifully, yeah. Bountifully. You know, it's the scoop that's running over. I mean, he just keeps giving it until you're just running over. He's not stingy. God is not saying, yeah, you asked for wisdom today. I mean, I think I remember you yesterday asking for wisdom, and you know, I'll slow down a little bit there. That's not God. God says, okay, all right, Yes, go ahead. Yes, come on. Ask. Okay, I'll give it to you. And he upbraideth not. What is upbraid? I mean, what would that look, if you were going to do that to one of your kids, what would that look like? Upbraiding him. Yeah, you know, might be a look, might be getting on to him, might be a whoopsh, you know, correction. Hey, you quit that. You ever get tired of your kids asking questions? Some of you still got young ones in the house. I've got a bunch of young ones. Some of you remember having young ones, and some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. But kids are question boxes. You know, I've got one that asks the same thing, you know, 7 or 8 times before it finally gets through to him. You know, what you're telling him, he's telling the same thing 7 or 8 times. You just asked me that. I just told you that, you know. And you can get kind of frustrated with your kids, and you'd be like, oh, come on, quit asking the same thing. Not God. Oh, again? Ask him for wisdom again? Come on, it's like 8 times a day. Aren't you glad that God's not like that? Isn't that great to know? He upbraideth not, and he's liberal. He just gives it to you. And look at the promise, okay? There's a command, but there's a promise. Both times here. Number one, God says, ask for wisdom. Okay, that's a command. And then he says, what? It shall be given. Now, if God promises something, can you take that to the bank? Okay? Yeah, I saw all the heads nodding. Why don't we? Why do we not depend on God's wisdom? Because we think, well, it's kind of subjective. I mean, how do I know if God gave me the wisdom? How do we know if he does it? How does it practically look? Let's examine this. We're going to talk about some practical things. We know it. We know it's true. I mean, God said, ask me. It will be given you. Great! How do we do that? Well, God helps us a little bit. The passage doesn't stop here. He goes on and it says this in verse 6. But let him ask in faith. Now, again, that sounds like a suggestion. Guess what? It is the exact same verb, the exact same tense as in verse 5. Let him ask of God. This says, let him ask in faith. Okay? It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Ask in faith. Why is that important? Can you ask God for something not in faith? Ever done that? Yeah. If we're honest with ourselves, we all have, right? I have. It's kind of like, I mean, we put it in human terms, it sounds ridiculous. You know, I could ask somebody in here, pick on the Randolphs up here, I say, hey, could you guys watch my kids for me this week? No, you won't. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But see, I could ask and then, you know, would you do this for me? But I know you won't. And they'd look strange at me and say, why'd you ask? You know? Why? But we ask God that way so many times. We don't say it out loud, but we say, you know, dear Lord, would you help with this prayer request here? And, you know, and we think in the back of our mind, maybe he will. I doubt it. It's not in faith. You know, when we ask God for something, we got to realize that God is very capable. God is dependable. God answers prayer. He does hear our request, and he does answer what we ask. And we treat prayer so flippantly as if it's just kind of something you do as a Christian, but it doesn't really mean anything. And then when God does answer our prayer, we're like, oh, wow. That shouldn't be that way, folks. Did you realize you can depend on God to answer your prayers? Do you treat it that way? Do you treat him as you would another dependable person? Now, obviously, no one compares with God, but if you ask someone that you trust very much to do something, you trust that they're going to do it. God's the same way. You say, well, sometimes he doesn't do what I ask him to. Well, there's other teachings on prayer. We understand there are some reasons, just like some other people. You know, you ask him to do something, you say, well, I can't do that right now, or it's not the right time for that, or whatever. But God is a great Heavenly Father who delights to answer our prayers. He delights to do these things. And he says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that's a rebuke to me because so many times I ask God to do things and then I go on and ask and act like I never ask him to. And act like I'm the only one it depends on and I've got to do the solution and I've got to take care of it. And it's all about me. Even though I ask God. And that's ridiculous. I am wavering when I do that. You are wavering when you do that. For he that wavereth, the Bible says, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. What an interesting picture. If you want to build that six-figure home, do you build it on the water? You say, well, there's houseboats. Yeah. And then there's hurricanes. you can build some pretty cool stuff on top of those big chunks of styrofoam. But what do they do? You know, all the time. And a lot of times then you see them a couple years later and they're sideways and green and falling apart. And yeah, nobody builds something that's going to really last on top of the water. Why? Because the waves come and the winds come and it just tears things up. You're driven back and forth. This is picture this little cork bobbing along in a sea. And sometimes you feel like that's your life. You're just up and down and back and forth, and there's no direction, there's no help. God says, that's you if you're asking me and you're not asking in faith. Because you got no idea whether it's coming or whether it's not. In fact, there's another promise here. And this is something that we all need to take note of. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now, I want you to let's look at compare the two verses here. In verse 5, ask God and it shall be given him. Then verse 6, ask in faith, and verse 7, you will not receive anything. If you don't ask in faith, you will get nothing. That's a promise. Just like verse 5 is a promise. Verse 5 says, ask me for wisdom, you will get it. Verse 6 and 7 says, ask in faith, or you will get nothing. Just as sure, just as much something you can take to the bank as verse 5 is, so is verse 6 and 7. If you and I don't ask God in faith, trusting Him, God says, I'm not giving you anything. Sorry. If you don't trust me to give it to you, you get nothing. And that is important to understand, because a lot of times that's our problem. We just say, God help me, and then we just act like God's not even there. And we try and do it ourselves, and we don't trust Him to. We don't rely on Him to, so He's like, well, why should I do it? You know, you'd feel the same way if somebody asked you to do something and treated you that way. Why should God be any different? Obviously, He's perfect and very patient. He talks about that. And loving. But He wants to teach us this. He wants to get our attention. What does this look like? What is this, practically, what does this look like? How do you do this? How do I ask God in faith? How do I not waver? How am I not like verse 8, a double-minded man? It's interesting. God calls us, when you ask and don't ask in faith, He calls us double-minded. It's like we have one mind. The word in Greek means two-souled. And it's like you had this desire to please God, to do right, but then you had this desire to do everything yourself. You know, God needs practically, doesn't God need our hands to do the work? Doesn't God use people to accomplish things? Yeah. But the fact is, all that's from Him. If you got the strength this morning to do anything, that's from God. Recognize that? You know, we're dependent. If you have the health this morning to be here, that's from God. If you have the intelligence this morning to read the Word and to understand it, that's from God. Everything you have is from God. It's all God's. Realizing that, coming back to that, we're going to say, okay, Lord, help me to obey these verses. What does it look like? Okay, well, what does it not mean? Do we need to pray and ask God for wisdom on whether or not to obey the Scripture? Right? So we're ruling out some things. This is not, dear Lord, should I commit adultery? No. Should I gossip? No. Should I be envious? No. I mean, this is not, should I do something that's clear, black and white in the Scripture? Dear Lord God, should I buy the red car or the blue car? It's not in the Scripture. So what are we talking about? We're talking about things, does God care? I think He does. I think God will give you wisdom on even the small choices in life. Because the Bible says if you lack wisdom, God, I'm not sure which of these vehicles is going to be best for my family for deputation. Which is going to stand up on the road the longest. They both look good on paper. Which one should I get, Lord? Is that something that I would need wisdom in a decision to make? I do, right? I need that wisdom. Now, I could just wing it. Seat of my pants. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Pick one. But you know, I've got a Heavenly Father that knows that I need to make a decision. How do you do that? What does it look like? I'm going to be very practical with you. Now, I'm not trying to build up myself or give you just personal examples. I'm just trying to put it into practical terms. How can you do this? Okay? Here's the decision in front of us. It's not wrong and right, necessarily. It's not black and white. It's not scriptural or unscriptural. It's just a decision that I need to make. And I don't know exactly which way to go on it. If I'll stop and ask the Lord for wisdom and trust Him for it, God says He'll give it to me. So what does it look like when it comes? Written in the stars? You looked in your coffee grounds in the bottom of your cup and it spelled out red car. No, not exactly. I pray about it. Yeah, that's the asking part. God tells me to, so I'm going to obey Him. Lord, I need to know which one of these cars to buy. I trust Him to give me that wisdom. And maybe He brings that thought to my mind, you don't have the money for either one of them. What are you even asking me for? Okay, Lord, you got it. Hey, seriously, that's an answer. Okay, sometimes it's our wants. And here's the interesting thing that I found out on these type of decisions. When I ask the Lord and trust Him, it just, you know, I do the thing that seems right. At that point, now this is not, again, this is not just being totally subjective and picking a straw of the wind. I'm saying there's two decisions. I'm concerned about these choices. Lord, I need your wisdom to make the right choice. Then you look at the choices and you make the one that seems right. Trusting God to guide you and help you to make that decision. Is that spooky or is that faith? I submit to you, that's trusting the Lord. Now, don't fool yourself. Don't be like, oh, I really, really want this one. God, which one should I get? Thanks. Okay, are you depending on God or not? That's personal. That's in your own heart between the Lord and you. Obviously, you know, if you're in debt and it's going to put you way in debt and you can't afford the payments, then I think there's scripture that talks about that, okay? That's different. That's not a scriptural choice. That, you know, but we're talking about choices that are both good that you need to have help on. And this can be small, folks. God answers prayer. I was pressure washing a house this week, and I lost one of my pressure washing nozzles. It only cost about $10, but you know, it's one I use all the time. And it was that really windy day. I think it was Friday, where it was just the wind was going crazy, and there's just leaves everywhere. And I just did this whole house, and I looked down, and it was gone. He said, "Well, that's stupid. You should, you know, pay more track, you know, attention to your stuff, and you know, serves you right. You'll have to go pay some money." Yeah, could have been. I just said, "Lord, you know, there's no way I'm going to find this, and it would just be really nice if you help me find it. That'd be great. If you want me to buy one, that's fine too." And I walked 10 feet over to where my hose was, and I looked down, and there it was. He said, "Oh, yeah, whatever." No, I have a God that's kind. I have a God that loves me, and He helped me find that thing. I ask Him, and He... Should we expect God not to do the little stuff? We have a big God. He cares about where my pressure washing nozzle is. He knew where it was. You say, "Well, that's silly." Now, you can think that, but I choose to believe that God cares about me enough that He helps me on those little things. And the Bible doesn't give qualifications. Let Him ask of wisdom if it's a major life-changing decision. That says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for it. Amen. Take it to the bank. Folks, this is so practical, and it's so liberating. It will help you in your life. If you will get a hold of this, not to abuse, you know, justify bad decisions by just doing what you want to do and throwing this verse at it. Sorry. There's another verse. There's, you know, the cork on the sea. God promises you, you will get nothing unless you ask in faith. This is not a band-aid, a blanket for selfishness. This is not, as the Bible talks in other places, a cloak of, you know, for lasciviousness or for your own self, you know. But this is a liberating fact that we can depend on, trust our God to help us to make decisions. It is not a roll of the dice. It is not gambling. It's trusting a trustworthy person and treating God as He deserves to be treated, as someone who is dependable, who is trustworthy, who is amazing, who helps us, who knows the steps that we need to take. Some folks accuse Christians of being superstitious. Now, I was out witnessing to a lady yesterday who was superstitious. She didn't want to walk under ladders and, you know, split poles and all that kind of stuff. And we talked about the difference between God's word and that. That's putting your faith in something that has no reason. But do you have reason to trust God? Do you have dependable evidence in your life of God's leadership and direction on you? God loves you. He wants to help you. He promised to give you wisdom. Are you tapping into it? Are you tapping into it? Are you utilizing this tool? You know, this is, to me, is just such a joyful and wonderful passage of Scripture, because I so many times lack wisdom. Here's the problem that I run into, and this is just, we're in closing. I know this passage. I teach this passage. I study this passage. I understand this passage of Scripture. And yet, I get so used to doing things in my own strength that I waste opportunities to put this into practice. They just fly by me, and instead of depending on God, I'm just depending on my own rotten self and my own selfish, deceitful heart. And I'm just flying on the seat of my pants, and then I'm wondering why, shoot, that was crazy. Well, that didn't go right. Wow, that was a hard lesson to learn. Ouch. Yeah? Is it just me, or can y'all identify with this? I hope you can. Maybe it's just me. Maybe y'all are just all walking in the Spirit. But I'm serious. We ought to. We ought to use it. And remind yourself, you know, how can you do this practically? You know, pray about things. If you get into the habit of praying before you sign, you know, praying before you make those decisions, praying before you buy that thing, praying before you, you know, and it can be very simple. You know, sometimes we get used to depending on ourselves, and so it just doesn't even cross our mind to pray about stuff or to ask God about stuff. And again, our selfishness comes into play. If I really want this toy, I might not ask God about it because He probably will say no. My kids are like that. You know, they go and ask Mom because Mom's really kind and gentle and nice. And she always says yes. Dad doesn't always say yes. So usually if it's something they really want and they don't think they might get it, they go ask Mom, right? Yeah, okay. We're good at asking ourselves on those kind of things. And not asking Dad about it, because we know we probably shouldn't. Amen? I mean, I'm being honest with you. That's real life. And this passage of Scripture will help us to live in a Spirit-filled manner, living with wisdom, making good choices and good decisions, and helping us to walk in the path that God's laid out before us, which is really the best path, isn't it? When you know you're walking in the Lord, in His direction for you, giving you direction in your life. And again, this has nothing to do with the past. Like, that's behind us. But from now on, you go out of these doors today, what are you going to do with this? And that was interesting. Put it in a toolbox later. Are you going to get it out and start using it? I hope you'll use it. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word this morning. Thank You for the practical nature of James and Lord, just how he was trying to help people that were living this and right in the middle of some really tough stuff. Thank You, God, that You give us such great direction. Lord, we're not worthy. God, what is man that Thou art mindful of him? Lord, of the Son of Man that You think on him. Lord, we don't deserve Your attention. We deserve Your judgment. Lord, thank You for not just casting us out for our sin. Thank You for not punishing us out of hand. Oh God, I thank you for your great wisdom, and thank you for your great dependability. Thank you that we can depend on you for everything. Thank you for taking such good care of us up to this point in our lives. Lord, you've given us health and life, and you've given us finances. You've given us the things we need. God, we thank you for those things this morning. Thank you for being so kind to us and so good to us. And Lord, when we've been obstinate and we've just been living our own way and walking in our own wisdom, which is not wisdom, thank you for being patient with us and Lord, not letting us just destroy ourselves. Dear God, please help us to run every decision that we make through the lens of your scripture. And I pray, God, that you'd give direction to every one of us here this morning. Help us to make decisions that would please you. Help us to be true believers. And help us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord, because our own sight deceives us. Thank you for the opportunity this morning. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.